broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
But, you know, there's one other interesting aspect about this. I can look back to the Bush years.
What's sort of horrifying to people is if somebody practices killing.
My eyes and I see him backing up and not knowing what to do.
This kid lays a finger on you.
I'm like a slut and a whore.
That is a threat on the radio.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast on this Wednesday night, the day before Thanksgiving 2010. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass and beyond to, well, go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We invite you to join us every night. Every night we go places where other people, somebody said once this show is like a high wire act juggling chainsaws. That's it. 877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. Check out our live streaming video and our live streaming audio as we continue to work to improve, to deliver this radio show to you in all its many manifestations. And I was just talking to Rance, and we have January. New technology whereby we're making our website mobile. We ain't waiting for this app, that app, some other app. And we will be able to have our video on demand on the iPhone. That is a major, major announcement, because we are on your Android phone right now, streaming video and on-demand video, but iPhone, it'll be on demand. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and I wanted to mention one other thing. We have our affiliate spotlight tonight, right? Yes, we do. Affiliate spotlight in Austin, Texas, KJCE, 1370 AM. And a new affiliate in Fort Wayne, Indiana, WJOE, 106.3 FM in Fort Wayne. Outstanding. Glad to be with you guys. There's a couple of stations in the the landscape, the American radio landscape, that get it. All right, we have with us tonight Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're going to bring Ted on. We also have later on in the program, I believe, Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, who'll be talking with us about his daughter's school and what they're teaching over there.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
You get the restaurant up.
Steakhouse, okay. Come on down.
And we have Ted, you there?
Yeah, hey, listen, Phil, we want people to come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, Porterhouse for Two, special price, $40, Porterhouse for Two, at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
And good evening to you, man. How you doing?
I'm great. The holidays are here. Of course, we enjoy the holidays. We enjoy the holidays with our families, as everybody else would. And I'm doing outstanding, young man. How are you?
I'm very good, Ted. Tell me about, and Ted Bell sponsors this portion of our show. Since we have no Friday show this week because of Thanksgiving, Ted is with us on a Wednesday night.
I have to tell you, a very, very good friend of ours, you know Bob Whitlock, right?
Yeah.
I had him, there's only one way of saying this. I had to have him removed from the restaurant. And it made me...
Why?
Well, let me give you some background. I think you know Bob, and I think you know he's had a history of some extreme behavior.
I wasn't aware of that, no.
Well, he has, and he is... It's very sad, and I'm a very good friend of the family, and I'm a very good friend of Deanna, his wife. She's a terrific lady, but he does things, they're going to get him in trouble. And so I just had to have him removed from the restaurant. And so what I'm saying to people, this is a mental health issue. If you support a mental health charity, please double your efforts.
What happened?
Well, he came up to me, and he first walked up to Sherry, who was at the hostess stand, and then he was over. He's talking to Angel in the prime rib room, and he said, "Are you guys doing turkey dinners tomorrow?" And I only got this secondhand, and when he came over and said it to me, that's when I knew, and I said, "I can't, not tonight." You know, any night of the week, I might be able to sit him down in the office and maybe get some people to help. But I told him to, when I heard that...
What did he say? Was he rude to one of the waitresses?
No. Listen to me. He walked up to me, let's put it that way.
Because you said he talked to somebody in the bar.
Well, let's see, he said the same thing in the bar, but he walked up to me and said, "Are you doing turkey dinner tomorrow?" And I said, you know something? That's it. That is the door, the front door to the restaurant. Go through it. I said, get out of here, Bob. And I know it might sound cruel, and if I had medical services or...
Well, I got to ask you something. Maybe I'm not hearing, and I know this is noisy. You said that he said to you, are you doing turkey dinner?
Yeah.
Why did you throw him out for that?
I don't understand, and I think probably the audience would help you with this, but this is a restaurant. And when you ask me, am I doing a turkey dinner, you're wondering why I threw him out?
Yeah.
Because he said he walked up to me and asked me a question that I think any self-respecting restaurateur would throw anyone out if you had any self-respect. Am I doing turkey dinner is what he asked me. And I said, I can't deal with it tonight, Bob. Ordinarily, you can dance on a tabletop. You can put a lampshade on your head. I can't do it tonight. We're very busy. So I told him to get out.
Well, you threw him out of the restaurant for asking the question. And if I'm missing something, help me.
Well, what are you not understanding?
I don't understand why he got thrown out for asking you, are you doing turkey dinners?
Well, you know, I don't know where I'm supposed to begin with you. I know I'm sponsoring the segment. How much time? I don't understand. Why would you ask me that?
I guess I don't know the restaurant business enough to know that.
Well, let me explain it then. Forgive me. I thought it was something that was pretty obvious. To me, I thought it would be obvious to someone who's in communication such as yourself, Bill. But if you're not, that's all right. There's not a lot that I'm familiar with when it comes to radio. So, all right, let's chalk that one up to... there's a lot of people listening to your show tonight that know exactly what I'm talking about. When you offer a turkey dinner at your restaurant on Thanksgiving, what you are basically doing is turning your restaurant into a soup kitchen. And you are advertising it as a place where homeless, lonely losers can go and have their turkey. And I don't do that. The only restaurants that do that are restaurants that, frankly, are desperate for the business and don't care what it looks like, don't care who comes shuffling in. And
are you telling me, and I just want to be clear, you know...
Please don't start your question off with, are you telling me, because you don't understand my business.
No, I do not. You're right. And so let me take that back, Ted. What I'm asking is this. I apologize, okay?
Yeah, you don't start off, are you telling me, like I'm saying something wild. I'm saying something that every self-respecting restaurateur knows. And
what about customers?
What do you mean, what about customers?
Do you think the average customer in your restaurant tonight... And Ted's is open tonight, and you'll be open tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we're open on Thanksgiving. We're just not a place where some loser can come in and get his turkey dinner. That's all I'm saying.
All right, okay, I got to ask you this, because you've used that word twice. Somebody who wants to have a Thanksgiving dinner of turkey and cranberries, and whatever that constitutes, going into a restaurant to get it is a loser?
Hold on for just a minute there, Phil.
That's what I heard you say.
Hold on for just a minute. But let's back up. What is Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is a day of giving thanks for all that we have. And the American people have celebrated Thanksgiving since the early days of the Pilgrims. It became official in the 19th century, and this is what we do. And we celebrate it with family. We celebrate it with friends. Gather around the hearth and the fire, and we have our turkey dinner. When someone walks into a restaurant and says, I'd like to have my turkey dinner, because they want to approximate the actual experience. Look, if you want a turkey dinner and you don't care, you'll be sitting next to a homeless man who hasn't seen a shower in a year, you go over to Denny's. No self-respecting restaurateur serves turkey this week, and I wouldn't want to serve some loser who thinks they came in, to get a turkey meal with the fixings, either. And
wait a minute, man. You know, you just denigrated Denny's. I hope to God, I go to Denny's. I eat at Denny's.
I know everybody goes to Denny's to have the Grand Slam. I'm not talking about that or get that. What do they call it? The Grand Slamble. What do they call that?
The Grand Slamble.
The scrambled eggs that's named after a... that's what I thought it was. Everyone goes to Denny's at 2 o'clock in the morning to get an omelet when you're lit up. I'm talking about on Thanksgiving Day, Phil, a day when you need to be with your family, a day when you need to be with your friends, a day when you should be around hearth and in the kitchen preparing a meal the way our pilgrim forebears did, because they didn't go into a restaurant. Our pilgrim forebears didn't walk into the local, Smokey Joe's Cafe, you know. And
I understand that, Ted. I understand that completely, all right? I know that, but you're saying that anybody who goes into a restaurant to get a turkey dinner now, these days, is a loser.
I think that they're a very selfish person, yeah.
What about, let me ask you this.
Why are we arguing? See, here's the thing. I buy time on your radio show so I can advertise what we have. You and I are, you're giving me an argument.
I apologize for giving you an argument.
This is not anything you would know better than me. I know better than you. And when you are operating a restaurant like I do, and somebody comes in and says to you, when are you having the turkey with all the fixings, you don't have any choice. You tell him, get out. Get out before I lose my temper. I've got too much self-respect to serve turkey this week. Do you understand? This is Thanksgiving week, and I've got way too much self-respect than to actually carve up a turkey and serve it to my customers. Should not insult me by coming to my establishment asking for turkey. The kind of person that eats turkey Thanksgiving out is not the kind, not anybody I want to associate with. And this is standard.
You're saying a lot of things that are borderline hostile toward people that eat turkey in restaurants.
Order, Phil, I'm talking about good business, and I'm talking about what is American.
All right. Do you feel you're making the statement it is un-American to eat turkey dinner in a restaurant?
What do you think I've been talking about?
So you're making that statement so that when older folks whose families have grown up and moved out and they don't want to cook a bird, whoever.
All right. Well, so far, you're not really helping your older folks. What senior center are they locked in? Okay.
No, I'm talking about regular people whose children have grown up, who may be in their 50s, who may be in their 60s, and decide, you know, what the hell? I don't want to make a bird anymore because the kids are gone. Let's go have a Thanksgiving dinner at one of our favorite restaurants.
I don't know of any such human being that would make that known publicly. I don't know of anyone that would stand up in front of a crowd of people and say that's what they do. Of anyone.
All right, hold the line. Ted Bell has joined us. I didn't know it was such a big issue. That's the only thing. He does not serve turkey dinner at his restaurant because Thanksgiving, for him, is a day that if you're going to have Thanksgiving dinner, then you better be home with your family making your own bird. He doesn't know of any good restaurant that does it, because any restaurant that serves turkey dinners, in his words, basically they're turning their restaurant into a soup kitchen. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Forgive me, I didn't give our phone number out enough there. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back. Take your phone calls if you have questions for Ted. Are you guys going to be eating a turkey dinner at a restaurant? What do you think of what he has just said? Or maybe you agree. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And we do want to remind you that while we are open on Thanksgiving Day, serving our great selection of steaks, we are not serving any Thanksgiving dinners at Ted of Beverly Hills because we have self-respect.
Ted, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Right there.
Yeah.
That's a word that is very strong to say we're not serving turkey dinner, we're not serving Thanksgiving dinner at our restaurant because we have self-respect.
No, that is not very strong. You have to understand, Phil, I'll put it to you this way.
By the way, if you wouldn't mind, Ted, we are talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, one of our sponsors. We're discussing the fact that his restaurant does not serve Thanksgiving dinners, although they are open on Thanksgiving. because you feel it's a question of turning your restaurant into some sort of a homeless shelter or a soup kitchen, because the only people that would eat turkey dinner on Thanksgiving are some kind of loser.
Hold on. I don't think I used the word loser. I think that's fair.
I believe you did.
Well, I believe I'm also your sponsor. I believe that I'm sponsoring this segment of your program, and I believe I didn't. I'm not saying that I'm lording it over you.
All right. You didn't.
Well, Phil, I don't believe I used the word loser, and I would like you to affirm that a little bit more convincingly, if you don't mind.
All right, you didn't say loser. Look at Ted, just because you're buying sponsorship time, I got to, what I heard was...
Let me explain something to you, if I could. And I don't mean to talk down to you, but I think your audience will appreciate this. By the way, for those of you who are listening, my name is Ted Bell. I'm with Ted's of Beverly Hills. Are you on the air tomorrow?
No, I am not.
You're not on the air on Thanksgiving?
No, I am not.
All right. And the reason why you're not on the air on Thanksgiving is because the only people that would call a talk show on Thanksgiving Day are... they probably are mentally ill. They probably have no home.
Whoa, man, hold on.
No, we're not waiting. Whoa. Who calls a talk show on Thanksgiving Day?
People who may be in their cars driving. People who are big fans of the news, big fans of conversation.
The only people that are sitting around a radio, listening to a talk show and calling one on Thanksgiving Day, Phil, and I'm going to use the word that you didn't want me to use, that you claimed I used that I didn't, but I'm going to use it now. You thought I did use this word. I didn't use it, but I'm using it now. Losers. Who's going to listen?
You know, that is insulting my audience now. I'm not insulting your customers. You know...
No, you're not insulting my customers. I don't insult my customers. I'm not insulting my customers.
Well, yes, you are. You're saying anybody that comes into your restaurant who wants a turkey dinner on Thanksgiving Day...
No, those are not my customers. Everyone who comes to my restaurant is a long-time Ted's of Beverly Hills customer, understands you're not going to get any turkey dinner on Thanksgiving at Ted's of Beverly Hills because I don't want a certain kind of person shuffling in and out of here.
And what do you think happens, though, is what I'm asking. I'm not. You can do business any way you want.
You better believe that.
All right. But if you're offering Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving at your restaurant.
Well, you're asking for it then.
You're saying the only people that you're going to attract are homeless bums, losers.
You're attracting people who have decided that they either they don't have the comprehension or they don't have the home or they don't have the money. They don't know about making a turkey dinner and being with human beings that they know. They're going to sit by themselves in a booth and stare at whatever they do.
And you've never had a couple come in and say, oh, wow, our kids are grown.
No, Phil, the world doesn't work the way you scripted it. And I say that with all due respect, the world doesn't work the way you scripted it.
877-876-PHIL. We'll take a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. As we talk about Thanksgiving dinner at Ted's of Beverly Hills, he doesn't offer it. Here is Dan in Indianapolis. Dan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Ted.
Yes, sir.
I want to say I've found myself in the situation before where I've had Thanksgiving dinner at a restaurant, and I'm not homeless, and I'm a well-to-do American. One situation, we were driving cross country, my family was moving, and, we wanted Thanksgiving dinner. And thankfully, we found a place that was grateful enough to serve it.
You were driving across country. What does that mean, you're driving across country? On Thanksgiving, you were driving across country?
We were, my family was moving. And
who moves on Thanksgiving? Who well-to-do American decides I have to move on Thanksgiving?
See,
that's what I'm talking about.
A lot of circumstances can dictate that, but you could be military. Your orders, your PCS state is you have to go.
You said you were well-to-do. Were you in the military at the time?
I was going to ask that, Dan. Was that a move necessitated by the military, or you just decided you wanted to move that day or that week, right?
No, that was not a move necessitated by the military. That was a corporate move at the time.
Yes, sir.
Your life is not in your control. You've got people telling you you're going to move on Thanksgiving, which any man would say, no, I'm not going to move on Thanksgiving. So That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're a bad guy. I'm not saying that you don't have money. I'm saying you're not the kind of person that I want hanging around, though.
Why would you say that?
Because he's in transit. He's in transit. You know, he doesn't have any roots.
Away from homes. You know, what about people who have a job and aren't with their family?
All right, hold on. I tell you what you do, Dan. You hold on the line here. We got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. Your calls with our guest, Tad Bell, next. We're live on Thanksgiving Eve here, live with Steve Bozell next hour, The Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, this is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills here. Remember, we are open tomorrow on Thanksgiving. We do not have turkey dinners, and I would appreciate it very much if that's what you're looking for, that you stay away from my.
Ted Bell with me from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Now, I want to ask you, you sound a little bit hostile.
No. I'm not hostile at all, Phil.
Well, you sound a little bit hostile when somebody is going to want a Thanksgiving dinner at your restaurant. He's a loser.
No, that is not. If I sound that way, then let me apologize. What I'm trying to say, and I think it was illustrated beautifully with the last gentleman I was talking to, and I believe that gentleman was from Indianapolis. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think his name was Dave. Or some other. I forget.
Well, whatever. The gentleman called from Indianapolis.
Right.
All right. That gentleman said that he was moving on Thanksgiving. Well, no employer that values someone is going to make them move on Thanksgiving. The only guy that makes you move on Thanksgiving is a guy that doesn't think you are all that valuable. That's number one. Number two, he's transient. If he stops into my restaurant and he wants to get a turkey dinner, I have a way that I deliver the bill to all the tables. When I deliver the bill, sometimes I don't, but when I do it in a very European fashion. I press the back of my hand against the small of my back, my left hand. I extend the check on a tray, and I say, here, sir, is your check and your mints. And if I were to do that at that man's table, I would be bending over to an empty table because he'd be halfway across the country.
And oh, come on, Ted.
What do you mean, come on, Ted? I'd be acting like an ass, giving him the check, and he's halfway across the country.
You're telling me because he's mobile, he's beating the sea.
Yes, he's beating the sea in his move. That's what I mean. And even that gentleman, he was a very nice guy, but even in his very best manner, he's transient. He's moving around. He doesn't have roots. But no, thank you.
877-876-PHIL.
And you recognize that I'm delivering that check in a very European style. The back of my left hand.
No, I understand that you're bending. What does that mean, anyway?
You're giving them a very gallant treatment, and he's out with his U-Haul? No, that'll not stand. That will not stand.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call in Nashville. It is Scarlett. Scarlett, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment about Mr. Bell. First of all, Mr. Bell, you did say loser. And I have worked in restaurants.
Mr. Hendry said it. Mr. Hendry said loser.
No, you refer to homeless people as losers. However, I have worked in restaurants all through college, and I worked many Thanksgivings, and we never had any homeless people, quote-unquote, shuffle in. It was not like that. And another point I want to make.
You're the waitress, you're not the owner, so you don't really know what he's having to suffer as he looks at that from his office. And I'm sure he has kind of
I was a waitress. I saw everybody. I saw many more people than the owner saw.
No, he sees just enough. If he's on site, I don't know who he was. I'm on site. I'm on site just about every night. And I see who comes in. And these people that come in for these turkey dinners on Thanksgiving, you wanna break down and cry. Here they come. Why aren't you home having a turkey dinner? Oh, yeah. and they're sitting alone, and it makes the place, it gives my place, quite frankly, a bad look. It looks like when somebody comes in, I got nothing but losers sitting around. You know.
I saw many families come in well-dressed. For one reason or another, they did not want to have Thanksgiving at home. They might have wanted to go to a movie out, or it was just a small thing, and they didn't want to do a whole turkey with...
Right, yeah.
How do I know what?
How do you know that they're families? I mean, they are collections of people drawn together because they don't have anywhere to go, and so they come in together. I suppose you could call that a family. I don't. And then they try to they pull the change out of their pocket at the end of the night and try to divide up the check. To me,
oh, sir, they did not.
Well, I don't think that you've have you ever owned. Let me ask you something. Where do you eat Thanksgiving on? Where do you eat your Thanksgiving dinner?
What do I do for Thanksgiving dinner?
Where do you? Yeah, where do you go?
It depends on the situation I'm in. I might go have Thanksgiving breakfast at a restaurant.
There you go.
That's
exactly what I'm talking about. See, from year to year, you don't know whether you're going to be living in a house on the street, and so you shift aimlessly from one Thanksgiving meal to the next, a restaurant.
Excuse me,
and I'm not
sir.
Putting you down,
I have
Scarlett.
An MBA from Vanderbilt. I know
where
I'm going to be from one place to the next.
No, you told me you're eating in a restaurant at night or the next day you're in a soup kitchen. I don't know.
She didn't say she's at a soup kitchen.
But you see what I'm saying? She doesn't. She can't tell me where are you going to have Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow? You don't know. Why? Maybe you don't live anywhere.
I do know where I'm going to have Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow. I'm going to have it at my home with my family.
Oh, how convenient.
Because I choose to. I mean, I might wake up tomorrow, not feel like cooking. I might go to Cracker Barrel. I might go to Hoppers.
How can you do that? If you've got a family waiting for a turkey to be cooked and you decide that you're going to go to Cracker Barrel instead, that's a very insecure home. That's weird.
It's not an insecure home.
Oh, will you come on?
I have a husband and one child.
That's weird.
Yeah, she's got a husband and one child. She may change her mind. Scarlett, thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, I don't know why you cut me off. There's a lady who said we're going to have our Thanksgiving dinner at our home or maybe Cracker Barrel. That's not what I call a cohesive home unit. That is a young woman who she may have some emotional instability.
Why do you call it that? And you are not even qualified to say that. You know.
Why am I not qualified to say what? If someone says I'm going to cook turkey dinner or maybe I'm going to Cracker Barrel, that is a wide variance of activity that I think, with all due respect, necessitates the intervention of a professional. And if you want to put the word psychiatrist on it, you be my guest.
As far as you're concerned, people that eat Thanksgiving dinner in restaurants need a doctor. That's what I'm getting here. 877-876-PHIL. This is Ty in Largo, Florida. Or is it T?
It's Ty.
Ty, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Yes.
I have never listened to your show before, and I was coming out of Walmart Supermart and shopping for Thanksgiving. And I have to be honest with you, I've worked in mental health for many, many years. I've been a relationship consultant. And my concern for the individual sitting with you, this so-called gentleman, if so, Ted, your usage of loser and your usage of any self-respecting person, I want you to try to consider this and maybe talk to the audience. Even though you've been a business owner and
Let the lady finish, okay?
Take a breath.
All of a sudden, I'm Ted Bell. Does she know who I am? Do you know who I am?
Be a gentleman.
I'm Ted Bell.
Yeah.
I'm asking for you to recognize that.
She recognizes that. Go ahead, Ty. Yes, Ty.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, you said
her
name was
T. Everybody comes from the same family unit as your next-door neighbor as yourself. There are many ways to define the word family, and there's many ways to define how people perceive it. Now, I have volunteered over the years in soup kitchens and different places, and I'll tell you, not all of them what you call are losers. The way you generalize and pack everybody into one group is such a rigid way of thinking. And I'm not trying to insult you. I'm not done yet.
And they are losers.
But it tells me that you have disconnected feelings with people. It's like you have your own rigid world that you live in.
You might have gone to night school to get your degree,
how many people have had a disparaging relationship with the family? And do you know how many seniors in Florida don't have family?
When you say family, you remind me of my mother-in-law. I beg your pardon?
Do you know how many seniors in Florida don't have families and like to go as groups to restaurants?
That's my point right there. Why don't they have family? They ought to be, they're the oldest one. There should be younger people that are still awake or are still alive.
You know, my cousin Kathleen is an only child. Both her parents have died.
Who?
Her son died in the military. She's divorced, and she's by herself. She gets together with other teachers.
You're in her family. Where are you?
I'm one of 12. I'm one of 12. It doesn't matter. Something.
So in other words, you have enough people, you don't want to invite your lonely cousin to join you, so she's an outcast. Okay, we've established that.
Do you know? And
no, we haven't established that. They may live in a different city, man.
And the way you say family, are you from New York? You are, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
All right, that's fine.
Massachusetts. You know, some people some people are going through divorces right now. Some people have lost children in the military. Some people have lost their jobs.
And I think they need to just accept that, and I think they need to go to the store and get some of that sliced turkey and go home and make a sandwich. But to come into my restaurant is to disgrace and to blacken the name of my restaurant.
Will you let this lady talk, Ted? You're blah, 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 blah.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, but I am a sponsor.
From Albania that have a restaurant.
Albania?
And when their doors are open on Thanksgiving Day, there is a term that is used. Try to look beyond the exterior. I mean, you say that people who have no place to go, homeless, are losers. You know, I knew a gentleman.
Lady, you've got friends that have the Albanian restaurant. Do you know those people were engaged in genocide not too long ago, and now they've opened up a restaurant? Well, isn't that nice? It's nice to know they ran a concentration camp.
Would you? Good God.
Come to your restaurant due to the recession, have lost their homes, lost their cause, lost their jobs. And, you know, some of them have so much pride, and they can't deal with the situation that some of those people have ended up homeless. I don't think the other callers listening would say or agree with you that those people are losers.
Ted, are you saying that we are supposed to tell those people, you don't blacken Ted Bell's restaurant or anybody else's, go to the store, buy sliced turkey?
Yes, go home and make a sandwich, and next year maybe you'll have some friends.
Boy, you haven't heard a thing that this good woman has said, and she's laid out a number of different scenarios.
Phil, you know, with all due respect, just because you're trying to hit on one of your female fans, and
how dare you? This lady called in, walking out of a store. I don't know her from Adam, and I'm listening to what she says. She's a professional.
She's at a Black Friday sale. She's waiting in line.
No, she's coming out of a store. And she's talking about the people that she's met in the mental health field who need this kind, who have different needs and different life conditions. And all you're saying is, go to the store, buy some sliced turkey, make a sandwich, and don't bother me.
That's essentially what I'm saying. And if this lady were honest with the people that she treats in her mental health, whatever it is she does,
you know,
she'd say to them, do everybody a favor and stay home. What?
I have a friend, and his name is Roger Mogul, and he's a retired human resource.
And I'm sure he appreciates you putting his name out on the radio. That's great.
Pinellas County of Florida. This man volunteers at a hospital. This man goes and visits a senior lady, I can't tell you how many times a month. He doesn't get anything out of it. That's a self-respecting man. This man is a big brother to a young man for many years after raising his own kids.
And that's a self-respecting man.
This man opens up his home to give parties to people that can't afford it.
Sounds like a very good man. Yeah, sounds like a very good man.
This lady, don't you think she should run for office? Because all it is a filibuster.
You've been interrupting. I'm giving you the floor. You're interrupting.
What is this guy's name, man? You said his name is Rogers. You mumbled his name. I don't know what.
Right.
What is his name?
He's a retired human resources director because you seem to emphasize a lot on title and money. And what I'm saying is, you think you're self-respecting Ian. I don't know if you're self-respecting Ian, but I know what a self-respecting Ian does.
I'm self-respecting, and I think that you should understand that while I want to help people, I don't need your patience lining the booths of my restaurant. I don't know how to say this.
All right. Ty, thank you so much for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is a very, very good phone call and very educational. And
you butchered her name. Every time you open her mouth, it's T. Hey, T. Thanks a lot, T.
Ted, you know, you're very childish.
I'm childish.
And that comment about hitting on my female fans, that lady has never listened to the show before.
Okay. Yeah, whatever you say there, Toto. You know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the Phil Henry Show as we talk about Thanksgiving dinner at a restaurant. Does that make you a loser if you eat Thanksgiving dinner at a restaurant? Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, he doesn't serve turkey on Thanksgiving. He won't have it. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
It's the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, they did that.
Well, now, that's an interesting story, okay?
If you don't mind, I know it's not much. It's only money. But if you wouldn't mind, I'd certainly appreciate it if the jingle that I paid for, that my company has paid for, that we have spent a lot of money on, you wouldn't mind playing the commercial on it. Thank you very much.
I apologize. We had
Ted
of Beverly Hills.
Brother.
Steakhouse. Come on down.
That's money, Bill. That's funny. That commercial air is money. I'm Ted Bell.
Don't you want to say anything?
I've got something to say. Is it over? I got something to say to you. In 1983, listen to this. I'm going to tell a story now because that woman, she took up all the time. She's talking. In 1983, right after my father died and I took over the restaurant, in 1983, as a promotional idea, I said that we were going to serve turkey dinners at the restaurant because guess what was happening that week? At the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, for the one and only time they've ever had the game because it was such a flop, Army and Navy were playing. You remember it, Phil?
I do, yeah. I remember Army and Navy playing at the Rose Bowl, yeah.
Well, it was a flop. It was an absolute stinker. No one cared. And I was never more embarrassed in my life when I said, in honor of the Army-Navy game, come to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're having Thanksgiving dinner. And I got nothing but you're looking at these. Well, I better not say.
You're looking at what?
You're looking at a lot of old people shuffling in. And, oh, isn't this great? And what would you like? I'll take the chicken breast. Yeah, I'll have the. Do you have any fish? So, in other words, on Thanksgiving Day, when I thought we'd really be knocking it out of the park with a business, I had table after table after table. Yes, they were senior citizens. God bless them. But, you know, they're ordering the $13 then, back in 1983. They're getting a salad, an entree, like a cheap entree of something. Can I have the appetizer as my entree? Can I get a doggy bag? Phil, I went back to my office. I'll never forget. I went back to my office. I locked the door. I sat down at my desk. I pulled out of the drawer at the bottom a bottle of Stolichnaya. And in 20 minutes, I was so blithering drunk, they had to call my wife.
Well, that's not anybody's fault but yours, Ted.
No, what do you mean it's not anybody's fault? You're absolutely right.
The fact that you had that promotion.
No, you're right. But I vowed, I swore a blood oath I'd never do it again.
877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Brandy in Madison, Mississippi. Hi, Brandy. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
are y'all doing?
Very good.
Hey.
Great. Hey, Ted, how are you?
Yeah, you're real good.
Okay, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. Are you a Christian?
Am I a Christian? Yes, I am.
Yeah, because you sound very friendly. Christians are, you know, very friendly.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm also a waitress.
I mean, I know you're gonna want something from me. That's what Christians do too. They always want something.
All right. Will you let her talk? We only got a few seconds. Go ahead, ma'am.
I'll say this for one. I don't want anything from you. You have nothing of my concern. The only thing that I'm saying is
about my soul.
One, that was a very, very rude comment, what you just said. And God bless you for that, because it's kind of funny. Anyway.
What did I say? I said, what about my soul?
You said you are a Christian, and you said that I would want something from you, because we normally do.
Well, you do. You always want to stop and talk to people for an hour, and everybody's late for their appointment talking to you.
All right. You realize now we're out of time?
I'm asking the lady a question. I'm saying, I forget what I was going to say.
That's great. Thanks, Brandy, so much. I apologize. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We've got scheduled next Steve Bozell and Thanksgiving at his kid's school.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Jede Frage.
He's a Pope that welcomes you. That stops for every question.
Well, North Korea, this is stemming from, I think, a greater problem.
One of the things that I think is very startling.
Fox News and a drugster are cooking this story up with fear.
You bought a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded today?
That makes sense.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we take you through the looking glass and go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can. We continue tonight with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills as we discuss the habits of Americans on Thanksgiving and what do restaurateurs of America think about serving turkey dinners on Thanksgiving and what do customers look like to them?
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted Bell here. Hey, come on into our restaurant. You know, we can make a big thing out of... We are not serving turkey on Thanksgiving. We're just not going to do it. But you're welcome to come to our restaurant. I guess we ran out of time.
Yeah, we did. But we are with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. All right, and we are continuing with our discussion here, Ted, about the fact that you will not serve turkey on Thanksgiving Day in your restaurant because to you, it attracts a kind of person, right?
Well, it attracts to the restaurant, and it attracts to you, the owner, and it sticks to the waitresses. It is as if it was it's a smoggy day. You get enough people coming into your restaurant on Thanksgiving, and you've got the word up and down the street that you've got losers coming in there coming in and out of there on a Thanksgiving day. Now I know, Phil, that you know many of your listeners I've been talking to. They don't like me saying these things. I know that. I know that a lot of them don't like being called. Supposedly, I'm not calling them losers, but what I am saying is I reserve the right as a restaurant owner to not have these old ladies coming into my restaurant on Thanksgiving and ordering. And what happens is, as you know, they order the entree they order the appetizer as an entree. It's a $20 lamb chop, big deal. They won't even order the turkey. So every which way I am... forgive me for saying this, every which way I'm taking it like I'm in a some sort of a youth camp and I'm being pinned to a bug.
Oh, man.
What are you laughing at?
I think you have got some comparisons going here, man. You know,
I'm telling you that on Thanksgiving Day, when I lay in turkey, and I'll never do it again, and I told you why I did it, It was for the Army-Navy game in 83.
I understand that.
That when you're stuck with turkey and you have a lot of seniors coming in and saying, can I have the stuffed chicken breast? Woo! Let me, you know, ding, 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 ding. Big spender. Look at Phil, I understand.
Those people are on a fixed income. They can't afford the steaks that you are serving up. They don't want to have turkey. Maybe it's their first night out together.
Then you can't come into my restaurant, can you?
Do you have people coming into your restaurant who eat the stuffed chicken breast?
I guess I do, Phil, or I wouldn't have it on the menu.
Then they're ordering it, okay? And
we don't have a 90% stuffed chicken breast night unless it is Thanksgiving. That's the part that I'm trying to say, and that is what I don't think your audience is understanding. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I want to say this, Phil, as your sponsor. I'm going to say this very seriously. And I'd like your listeners to hear this. As I said to you, in 1983, in one of the biggest mistakes that has ever been made in the history of college football, they played the Army-Navy game at the Rose Bowl right here in Pasadena, California. It was an enormous mistake. No one cared. No one wanted to go to the game. It's not a West Coast game. Never has been, never will be. It's an East Coast game. But the hype was Army-Navy, wasn't it? You knew the game, right?
Well, it's a big game.
Yeah, it's a big game. Guess what? Not here. But I went ahead and I laid in the Thanksgiving dinners. I laid in the Thanksgiving trimmings. I did everything. And I made a big deal and a big promotion. And it was the most embarrassing day of my life when this restaurant was almost like the Haunted Mansion. I swear to God, it was almost that empty where I felt a cold wind go right through me. Like in that, what did you ever see, that poltergeist? And I remember looking over my shoulder that night and wondering, was that something I heard?
And well, were there people in there?
There were people, but it was very few and far between. Because of that experience, and I'm a big supporter of the United States military, and you know that I am.
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, guess what? One day of the year, I hate the U.S. military and everything that it represents, and I can't do anything about it. It might be a psychological condition, but one day out of the year, I despise the American military, and it's the day they have that Army-Navy game.
Yeah, that's a psychiatric condition.
I don't know that you're qualified.
I can tell you this, Ted. If one day out of the year you despise the American military because of the Army-Navy game, because it was whatever it was 27 years ago that you laid in a supply of turkey dinners, and it was not a big promotion because nobody went to the Army-Navy game.
I had just taken over the restaurant from a father that died of a cirrhosis of the liver. I was swimming in debt. I was trying to make this restaurant go. I thought, Phil, I was going to lose everything.
Well, you did a great job, Ted. You bailed the restaurant out. You're now a successful man. So these are the stumbles. These are the missteps that all of us take in life on our way to success. 877-876-PHIL. I want to get a phone call in here as we are with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. This is Randy in Detroit listening to us on DTW. Randy, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. Hello, Phil. Hello, Ted.
Yes, sir.
You know, how are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. And as I was driving home helping a friend prepare for the Thanksgiving Day Parade here in Detroit, I kept saying it has to be entertainment because Ted can be for real. But then he said something that let me know, I think, where he's at. He took a restaurant over. He doesn't want people to come in because coming into your restaurant shows that they have the privilege, they're empowered to come in because they've chosen a restaurant, and with choice, that's power. But you said something poignant that you took over after your father's death.
That's, yes, I did.
You know, you may still be dealing with that. You drank yourself into a stupor in which you may still be recovering from, and then you can't even deal with the Army-Navy, and you're taking it out on the very people that come in and support you in your restaurant, and you blame it on turkey dinners and poor people and older people. I mean, I think you said it yourself. Maybe it's a psychosis.
No, sir. Well, first of all, psychosis, it's not. I'm well-rooted in reality, but I will tell you that my father started this restaurant in 1975, and within 8 years, it was almost in ruins. I took over the restaurant. I knew I had a great location, and I knew that we did steaks. Who doesn't like a steak? And is there money in Beverly Hills? I think so. So I had to start all over again. Now comes the Army-Navy game to Pasadena. I'm thinking, this is a great promotion. The colleges talked me into it. I'll never forgive them.
But what this man is saying is one day out of the year you despise the American military, where the rest of the year you support it.
Yes, I do.
And it's the day that the Army-Navy game takes place because...
Because those Army-Navy chumps...
I wish I was kidding,
because if I was kidding, I could wake up tomorrow and this is all just a big joke. But tomorrow I got to get up, and tomorrow I got to come into the restaurant.
But here's the sad reality, that you still have to deal with this, because you still stuck with that day that you didn't have the people coming to your restaurant. You lost
right.
your father, and you said it yourself. Yep. You drank yourself into a stupor. And again,
you
I
did.
Think from which you haven't recovered. And you're right. You absolutely have the right to serve or market yourself. Not serve, because whoever comes to your restaurant should be served. You have the right to market yourself to a particular audience or population. But to that end, if someone comes across your threshold, they're now your customer. And then... here's your challenge, if I may. Here's what
You get to go to a parade tomorrow. That's what you're going to enjoy yourself. You're going. I got to go in there and listen to people go. Oh yeah, do you have the turkey dinner? And I got to think, boy, if you say it one more time.
That's choice. I'm choosing to go to a parade. You're choosing to go to your restaurant.
I'd rather go with you. I'd rather be with you in a parade.
I'd like to hang out with you. I like to hang out with you because I like honest people.
Like
here's what I would like.
Let me tell you something. When you're in L.A., I want you to come up to me. You got a steak dinner on me when you come to L.A.
That's very nice of you, Ted.
I'll be in L.A. in about 3 weeks.
All right. Good. Then you head to Beverly Hills. We're on Rodeo.
All right, look at Randy. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. That man made a very good point that I want to follow up on before we go to our break. Do you have a drinking problem?
How dare you ask that of an advertiser on the air? How dare
you? Ted, you said that...
I know what I said, but how dare you ask me, an advertiser, do I have a drinking problem on the air in front of potentially millions? Potentially millions. Who knows? It might be just 5 people. But potentially...
Okay, so let's start insulting Phil.
You asked me if I was an alcoholic. You might as well ask me, do I see, you know, rats coming out of the wall? Hey, Ted, do you see, you know, like, what was that show that I saw, Dick Van Dyke? He was a drunk, you know that, don't you?
What are you talking about, Dick Van Dyke?
You're not aware that Dick Van Dyke was a drunk?
Dick Van Dyke, the comic?
He was an alcoholic. And in the movie they made about his life, he wakes up under the pier over there in Newport Beach, and he thinks he's got crabs crawling all over him. He was a mess. You think that's who I was? You think I'm Dick Van Dyke, is that it? You think I got crabs crawling all over me, and I'm running around like a wild man? I had a drink. Okay, maybe I had 2.
This man made the point, and I think it's a point to be explored. You drank yourself into a stupor... That night when you saw the restaurant empty and the Army-Navy game didn't bring in the big business that you thought it would. And with that, yes, I get the last word. We'll go to the break. We'll be back with Ted as we speak to Ted's Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted Bell is the owner and with us on the subject of Thanksgiving at restaurants. Do you serve turkey dinners at your restaurant? Ted doesn't. He thinks it's the sign of catering to losers. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Loser!
It's... The Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, everybody. This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. If you're in town, please come on out and have a great steak. Our porterhouse, our prime rib, our stuffed potato skin. Oh, my God. It is the best. And the good news is, Phil, and I'm joking, but I'm also serious. The good news is I don't think they'll ever even mention, let alone actually put into practice, the Army-Navy game in California.
Boy, you know, that is so such an anachronism, man. I don't know of anybody that I'm the only guy that remembers that because I lived in Pasadena at the time, so I remember the game. I don't know how many people in L.A. remember that the Army-Navy game was played here in 83, but to have it be such a traumatic event for someone, you know.
That, Phil, is, you know, and you said a mouthful, and I'll tell you, that shows us in life. Don't ever discount or minimize any experience or any event because somewhere someone is affected very deeply by that. And the fact that I had to endure as a nascent businessman in Beverly Hills, the Army-Navy game, which was as big a stinker as you've ever seen in your life. And you want to know something else, as I told you, to this day, on that day, when Army-Navy plays, I've got to keep myself, I just keep myself calm because I despise the entire United States military apparatus, and I don't care if we get invaded.
And oh, grow up. Come on.
No, I'm telling you the truth.
Well, you know what? If that's true, you do need a psychiatrist.
Why would I need a psychiatrist? I don't know.
Well, if you hate the entire military apparatus of the country because of the Army-Navy game.
Why is that a psychiatrist? That is an absolutely understandable thing in light of the fact that Army-Navy pinned me to a bunk in a youth center. I don't understand what you're
What are you talking about, man?
Well, Mr. Hendry, I am a sponsor.
You are a sponsor, Ted. But the stuff you're telling me, man, is borderline, I'm telling you.
See, this is what happens when you have an opinion that people don't agree with. You're crazy. That's the best way to argue with someone who you don't agree with. Just call them insane.
And I don't believe I've done that.
Well, you haven't? That's what you're doing right now.
No, I take that back. I don't think you're insane, but I don't think what you're saying in every instance is rational. Let me put it that way. Here is Sissy on the Phil Hendry Show. Sissy, hi, you're with Phil Hendry and Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Okay, first off, I hope he's going to let me talk. I just have a few things to say. First off, I would never eat in that man's restaurant.
Recommend
his restaurant to anybody. Secondly, he made a very hurtful remark when he said he hates the military. I just lost my nephew.
No, I don't. No, I don't hate the military. You missed. You totally missed it. No, you're not going to get away with that.
You did.
I did not say
What he did say, Sissy, if I could just... He says one day out of the year he does when the Army-Navy game is played. I mean,
But then he turned around and said he hated their apparatus and he hoped somebody did invade us. I lost my nephew.
On the day the Army-Navy game is played, yes, I do. You're right.
Excuse me.
I lost my nephew
in the Army just this year. We're fine.
On the day the Army-Navy game played?
The remainders of his body being buried in December.
Which day? Was it when Army-Navy played?
Will you let the lady talk?
I'm telling you, I don't hate the military. I love the military. I give money to the USO. I support the military.
If you hate them one day a year because of the Army-Navy game, then you hate them all the time. You're crazy.
No, you can't get away with that. You can't get away with that one. No, I won't let you get away with that. I hate them on the day of the Army-Navy game. The rest of the time, I love them.
That's the stupidest thing, though, I've ever heard in my life. The lady just said she lost her nephew.
I am very sorry to hear that, ma'am. And today, not being the day the Army-Navy game is played, I feel very bad for you. If it was the day the Army-Navy game was played, I wouldn't care.
Oh, that's great.
But you're saying you hate them one day a year. That's enough to hurt somebody that lost a family member.
In the service that was fighting
to protect our country. Don't tell me to come on.
Exactly.
Oh, you're making a big... You're being dramatic.
No, she isn't.
No,
she lost her nephew.
I'm not being dramatic. I lost a 32-year-old nephew on his birthday in a Black Hawk crash. I'm not being dramatic.
Could you watch your language, please?
What do you mean, watch your language?
Well, you did. Yes, you most certainly did. You said black. I can't finish it.
Black Hawk.
Well, that's not how she pronounced it.
Yes, it is. It's a helicopter. Black Hawk Down. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Because he's wrapped up in his alcohol. He don't hear nothing.
Oh, so now you're going to make fun of an alcoholic, is that it? Okay.
Yes, I am. You've got a problem. You need to get off the bottom. No wonder your restaurant has problems. I don't want to go to a restaurant where the owner comes around to the table so drunk you can smell the alcohol on him.
I've had a tough life, okay? I need my drink. It's the only thing that steadies me. Because I'm going to tell you something now. Are you laughing at me?
No, I'm not sitting there laughing at you. I'm listening to you, but you don't give me a chance.
All right, listen to me. Listen to me. In 1971, I was sent down a rat hole in Vietnam.
You weren't in Vietnam. You're not even old enough now. Stop it.
Why did you do that?
Because I'm not going to have you lying.
I'm 56. Well, I'm old enough to know about Vietnam.
I went down one of the rat holes in Vietnam.
No, you weren't in Vietnam. Now, don't go telling this lady that you were.
If you would have let me say it, she would have bought it. She would have bought it. Ma'am, you're too sensitive for this very hard, cold world that we live in. God bless you and the sacrifice your family has made.
No,
but I
I'm
feel
not
that
too
you
sensitive.
Are,
I care about my nephew. It's not being sensitive. I love my nephew.
Easy come, easy go.
What kind of a comment is that?
Well, I'm just saying. I'll tell you what. I want to say something to your sissy. I got something for you. Next time you're in L.A., free steak on me. You and the family.
I told you I would never eat in your restaurant. I will not patronize nobody that says one day out of the year they hate the military.
You pick a baked potato off our baked potato tree. The dinner's on me. And the Teds, all the Teds you can drink.
She said she's not coming into your restaurant.
You keep your dinner, you keep your drink.
Can I just tell you,
I'm going to hang up.
I love you. I love you. I love your nephew. I love our military, just not on Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's great, man. And that's screwy. Right. That's screwy.
You know something, sissy? You're very judgmental. I love the military today. Tomorrow, just don't talk to me.
Hey, it's already Valentine's Day, thank you.
Valentine's Day? And
I mean,
I'm nuts.
Thanksgiving Day.
I'm nuts. You just said, no, you didn't.
I know she misspoke. Sissy, thank you so very much. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. And you know something, Ted? I would like him to clarify that because I think he's being over the top. I think he's engaging in hyperbole. I hate the military one day of the year. 877-876-PHIL. Back with Ted Bell here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show in a moment.
Phil Hendry.
Why did you interrupt me? I had her going. That's Captain Morgan's and Coke. I invented it.
Here at Ted's.
I invented it.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
I say I invented Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted Belf with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and Ted has said that they're open, but they're not serving any turkey dinner. And the reason why you're not serving any turkey dinner, Ted, if I've got this, you know, correct, is that you think people that go to restaurants to eat on Thanksgiving are somehow losers or homeless.
But Phil, more to the point, what it makes my restaurant look like. I've got a restaurant, a steakhouse, that I have worked, I have sweated, I have slaved. I've probably taken 20 years off my life making this thing go in Beverly Hills, California. We have a certain panache. We have a certain, if you want to call it a reputation, we have a certain look. And one day out of the year, I'm supposed to turn it into a soup kitchen? I don't know. How does that work? Tell me where I go to talk to the man who says one day a year I take the image, the reputation, and the look of my restaurant and defecate on it. Tell me where do I go? Who do I talk to?
This is the kind of thing that you've been engaging in all night, talking in these extremes. How does that knock the image of your restaurant?
I've got, Phil, with all due respect, I've got old ladies coming in on Thanksgiving because they want to have, da-da-da-da-da. And the dishonesty, the absolute dishonesty of it. These are elderly women, women that I would respect, women that I might want to, adopt as my, surrogate mother. And they're coming in, and it's Thanksgiving. Yeah, really, is it Thanksgiving? Guess what? They're ordering the lamb chops. And I go into the kitchen, and I shake my head, and I think, my God, the lies. Just the lies alone,
Ted, may I say something?
What?
I don't want to tell you your business. Do you consider that to be the height of dishonesty for a group of elderly women to come in on Thanksgiving and say, hey, you know what, I feel like having a chicken breast?
Yes, I do, because what they're saying is this. Oh, Thanksgiving, I want to have my Thanksgiving meal. All right, well, we have our turkey. This is what we did. You know, when I did do this, here's our turkey on the menu. Well, I don't want that. I'm having the stuffed chicken breast. You want to know why? Because it's $5 less.
Is that it?
I'm done.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joan in San Jose, California, listening on KNEW. Go ahead, Joan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Ted. It appears to me that you have very little respect for diversity of lifestyle or individuals. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, diversity generally means race or culture. That's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are either poor or wealthy or middle class. They could be all races, all cultures. See, you calling from San Francisco, you thought you had me on that one, didn't you? Well, you didn't. Now then.
Forget about that, will you, and just comment on it?
I did. I'm talking about people who, for whatever reason, decide that on Thanksgiving Day, they're going to go into Ted's Beverly Hills and hold me up for a chicken breast. Would you like to comment on that?
Yeah. Well, anyone who's seen the last 5 minutes of Mr. Doubtfire knows that families take many different shapes and forms. It has nothing to do with the size of their kitchen or their ovens in which they may or may not be able to cook a turkey. So may I give you an example which I think is very well-grounded in which I ate at a restaurant on Thanksgiving?
I'm sure you're going to defend. I'm sure you're going to say you ate at a restaurant on Thanksgiving and that was good. You're not going to, you know, say it was bad.
I had a very enjoyable time. My mother was in a nursing home, and I took her out because it was not possible. After I flew across country to take her out to cook at the nursing home. So can you tell me what's the matter with that, to go to a restaurant and have turkey or lamb chops or stuffed chicken breast?
Well, what you could have done is gone to a supermarket and purchased some of the chicken that they've got in the deli, or what do you call it, turkey in the deli, or they could have sliced it hot. And had the common courtesy to eat it there in her room at the nursing home.
If you think that's more courteous than patronizing some hard-working restaurateur who's out there to help make our day a little bit nicer.
I'm not being courteous when I'm patronizing someone who's working hard on that day. No, because what's happening is you and your mother are in the restaurant and you're buying your lamb chops or whatever you're buying, and the restaurateur, the man that owns the restaurant, is in his office. You don't know, he's bent over at the waist. Do you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? When he's bent over at the waist? That is the pain he's in. That's the agony that he's in.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying that when he's got that going on in his restaurant, he has one choice and one choice only. He goes upstairs to his office and he eats an entire bottle of Advil.
Ted, why do you stay open if it bothers you so much, if you don't want to risk having someone who is beneath your lifestyle and your Beverly Hills panache and your worries? Why bother to keep the restaurant open?
No, but you didn't answer my question. You know, when you and your mother are having an enjoyable evening, eating off the appetizer menu, and the owner is upstairs spinning the chamber on a revolver.
Oh, will you come on?
You don't know what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm talking about. He laid in a supply of turkey because he believed, okay, we'll have turkey dinners. Now comes Joan and her mother, and what did they buy? They didn't buy the turkey. They wanted to save a little bit of money, so they got themselves the calamari and potato and vegetable selection. Guess what happens? He loses money. He's up there in his office, and he's spinning the chamber of a revolver.
What does that mean, Ted?
I think I've been very clear.
You're saying the guy's suicidal. He's got an ulcer. He's eating a bottle of Advil because of Joan and her mother. Good Lord.
You're talking about yourself. I don't think you're talking about most restaurateurs. Maybe you're spinning your revolver. And I think if anyone needs a little psychological counseling, you'd be number one on my list.
Well, I don't know. Where did you eat? Where were you eating? And I can tell you. Where were you eating this Thanksgiving dinner?
Where was I eating? In Boston at one of Anthony's very well-known restaurants. It was very nice.
Yeah, he was spinning.
Do you know Anthony's Pier 4, Jimmy Harborside, any of them?
Yeah, I do. I know them all. Yeah. I know them all very, very well. And I talk to those guys, and those guys are just, they're with me on this. They're lockstep with me on this. But I'll tell you one thing about those guys. They haven't got the guts to say it on the radio like I do. What they do instead is they down bottles of Advil.
That's great, Ted. So, in other words, we have no way of checking this out because we have to take your word for it. And I thank you very much, Joan, for your call, 877-876-PHIL. You're just going to tell me that these guys are up there spinning the chamber of a revolver. You know, at a certain point, man, I don't buy what you're saying.
I'm not interested in whether you buy it or not. I'm here to ask you this. When I lay in a supply of turkey and in comes Joan and her mom, and as their entree, they order the crab teeny. God, man, what is it that you don't get? What is it that you don't get about crab teeny?
What is it that I don't get about crab teeny?
Yeah, when I say crab teeny, I say calamari. You should be feeling sorry for me.
877-876-PHIL. Well, I can't believe... All right, so to answer that lady's question then, do you have people coming in every Thanksgiving now? Is this...
No, I don't. I've trained them. People know on Thanksgiving Day, the homeless, the bums, all the hobos, they look at tents of Beverly Hills the way a vampire looks at garlic. They're not going to go anywhere near it. And they damn sure know that they don't go anywhere near my front door, because I had a guy do that. One year we had one guy, after I told him there's not going to be any Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving. There's not going to be any turkey. And we had one smartass, if you pardon my language, who would run by the door and just holler in, lamb chops, and then he'd just keep going. And I know why they were doing that. They were saying they were just trying to anger me. And
well, I don't get it, lamb chop.
Well, as if they're ordering lamb chops. Or another guy, you know, crab teeny, and then he runs by.
And what is crab teeny?
It's an appetizer. Because I don't play that anymore. I don't allow that anymore. So I don't get any more old ladies in my restaurant who are ordering crab teeny, and I'm not taking it in the shorts like I used to. Now, that lady mentioned a bunch of restaurants in Boston. I know those restaurants very well, and they're outstanding restaurants. The difference between me and them, I got the guts to come on the air and talk about it.
877-876-PHIL. Here is Charlie. Go ahead, Charlie. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I wanted to comment on what the gentleman said about the service academies and how one day a year he hates the military.
Yes.
I was in Vietnam in 66, and I saw a lot of guys coming out of the academies. A lot of guys gave their lives for us, okay? And they didn't take the day off. Okay, no matter what day it was, this guy's crazy. Okay, and I'd like to know what I'd like to know what restaurant he had. Listen,
I got a restaurant at the Army Navy Academies. They owe me. They owe me big.
And this man is saying that those young men that graduated from those academies, a lot of them lost their lives in Vietnam.
I understand that. They're in the military. I support the military. 150% right down the line. I support them, except the day of the Army-Navy game.
I'm going to tell you, there's very little that you're saying that I accept, okay? Not only the military, but you're losing the whole spirit of giving and everything else. And I'm going to do my best. I'm actually in the VFW in Tennessee. I'm going to do my best to activate some people out there in the VFW to boycott your restaurant because, buddy, you are sick.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. So all the work I do and all the support... And you're going to encourage even more old people to come in and order the crab teeny. Is that it?
Why don't you take it off your menu?
Well, if I take it off the menu, then they're going to order the lamb chops. I take that off the stuffed chicken breast.
Why don't you take all of that stuff off on Thanksgiving and just order, just offer the turkey?
Hell, that's why they're
calling
you a
restaurant. These homeless people. Then I got homeless people coming in. Are you guys getting this? Because I've been saying it every which way, and it doesn't sound like anybody's getting it. I don't want to serve turkey on Thanksgiving. If I serve turkey on Thanksgiving, I wind up getting financially raped.
Then don't open the restaurant. How about that?
Great. And lose all that business?
Charlie, thanks so much for your call, man. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we'll be back. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget, next hour, we have our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. We're live on this Thanksgiving Eve, 2010. And check us out online at philhenryshow.com. We got live streaming video of the show. Watch us perform the show as we, perform the show. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What does that mean, perform the show? Just sitting there talking.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
This is Beverly Hills. We're firing up our DJ. We got the dance floor going in the prime rib room. So if you are in the dance, you want to hear some music, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're open till 2 a.m. with dancing.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So the club is, you're getting the dancing going?
Right now we do, Phil, and I'm going to have to get into the office. I've got a few more minutes.
And we're talking about Thanksgiving tomorrow. What time are you opening tomorrow?
We open at 12 noon on Thanksgiving.
But you're not serving turkey.
No, we're not serving turkey, and I can tell you, no amount of I got to get into the office. No amount of sniveling and crying by people is going to get me to do that. And I can tell you again, Phil, I don't mean to be offensive. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to do anything other than just let everyone know that, we're doing the best we can.
All right, what do we got?
David.
David Hall is here.
Oh, great.
David.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Well, I wanted to call in, and I think there's some misunderstanding. Ted, how are you?
I'm great.
Now that you're here, I'm great. There's a misunderstanding going on, Phil, among the listeners, I think. You're talking to Ted Bell, who's an advertiser, and you've been doing a little bit of disagreeing, which is fine to a point, but you've been disagreeing so much that I noticed the callers are now turning on him like this is almost, like, you think it's funny?
I think he does.
Hold on for a minute. I don't think anything's funny. We are having an exchange of ideas.
An exchange of ideas is one thing, but I just was listening to a caller who I believe was a veteran.
Well, that was the one that bothered me. He's a veteran, and he says he wants to organize veterans in California to basically pull my pants down in front of everybody. And what's going on with that?
I don't know. It was a caller. It was a gentleman in the VFW in Tennessee, and he said that Ted Bell made the statement that one day out of the year he hates the military, and that's the day of the Army-Navy game.
Which is understandable.
Well, now, how can you say that?
Hold on for a minute.
How can you say that?
Because on the day of the Army-Navy game, his restaurant was a haunted house. You heard him.
Yeah, but I don't understand how one day out of
did the guy explain it or not?
I tried to explain it. He won't let me. He doesn't believe me.
Did he explain it?
No, he didn't explain it to my satisfaction.
Oh, well, Phil, we can't all explain it to your satisfaction. Who knows what that is? Because, when we finally get done explaining stuff to your satisfaction, you're going to want to have Jesus dug up and shown to everybody. Is that what you want?
Oh, my God. Think about that.
No, I do not want that. I'm saying that if Ted Bell says that the Army-Navy game in 1983 at the Rose Bowl was such a bust that it drove business out of his restaurant, I believe that.
All right.
What I find hard to believe is that he uses that as an excuse to hate the military for one day out of the year.
Why wouldn't you? That was a good point. Why wouldn't you?
Because you're not taking it out on the whole military.
Well, here's the problem we got, and I just want to let you know, and I want to let your listeners know this. The Phil Hendry Show, as it is constituted here, and my name is Ted Bell is a sponsor, first of all. I want everyone to know that. If he says he's angry at the military one day of the year, then let me tell you, you're angry at the military one day of the year. He's a sponsor. He's a VIP right now. As a matter of fact, Ted, you've got dancing in your club right now.
I do.
Where are you?
I'm in the VIP.
Does that solve your problems, Mr. Hendry?
I beg your pardon?
I guess he's got it. Where are you, Ted?
I'm in the VIP room.
He's in the VIP room.
And that means what?
Wow, you're really stupid. What part of VIP don't you get?
You're in the VIP room. What do you want me to do with that?
You get behind him and defend him
against any and all boycotts, because if we lose them as a sponsor, I'm not sure we pay you and your staff. They don't get paid, and the big, fat, huge salaries that you guys demand will go out the window.
Oh, the big, fat, huge salaries.
Yeah. Don't piss me off. Now, let me say it again. I'm in the VIP room. Can you hear that? You hear the music. You hear Ted. He owns the joint, and he's in the VIP room. And yet you allowed some veteran in Tennessee to frighten him into thinking there's going to be a veteran boycott of his restaurant. I can't handle it. I can't use that. That's not the kind of publicity I can use. He can't use it. Okay? So I want you to now tell people that you will hate the military one day of the year because...
I will say no such thing.
Did you tell him I'm in the VIP room? Yes, I told Mr. Henry, you're going to tell people...
I'm not telling people any such thing. Get hang up on these jokers.
Oh, my God, you hung up on Mr. Hall.
I don't care. I can't even hear anybody thinking. I can't hear myself think, and I can't hear them talk.
You said you can't hear people thinking. Normally, you can't hear people thinking.
I know that. I didn't say it right, Robert. I can't hear myself thinking. I can't hear them talking. And no, I will not do that. And when he starts going down that road about, hey, Henry, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to tell everybody that you don't want to. What are you doing, bud? Yes?
I'm in the VIP room.
I know you're in the VIP room.
Over here. David. Phil, it's David.
Are you in the restaurant, too?
I just got here. Look at how you doing. We're in the VIP room. Now, the word is, and I'm telling you, this is big. May be here. I'm hoping, Phil.
Cat Stacks is in jail in Tennessee, man.
You know what? Your lies are... He's lying again, isn't he?
No, Cat Stacks is in Tennessee, and she's going to be deported.
Again, you're a liar. Why can't you just tell people she's going to be here?
Sounds to me like you got enough business.
Hold on for a minute. What? Yeah, what it is. Hey. Yeah. I'm dancing right now. Here, Ted. Yeah. Look, David's dancing. He wanted me to tell you that what we need to do is we...
Hung up again.
I'm not talking to those two clowns. David's dancing. He wants me to tell you. I know what he wants him to tell me. That I agree with Ted and his jackball ideas about Army-Navy. I will tell you this. Ted's absolutely right. That was the worst idea that had ever been proffered in the history of college football. They moved the Army-Navy game out to the Rose Bowl one year, and I'm telling you, it was like you could hear leaves falling. You could hear crickets. It with the reception of that ball game on the West Coast, it don't exist. It would be like having USC and UCLA at in Philadelphia. Who cares? All right, coming up next is our news hour on this Thanksgiving Eve. And we're actually into almost into Thanksgiving morning here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
One of the things that I think is very startling.
He was in there kicking him, saying, get out, my baby's in this car, get
out. Well, North Korea, this is stemming from, I think, a greater problem.
But you know, there's one other interesting aspect about this. I can look back to the Bush years where...
When you're really ready to play Graham, Nevada.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night, we take you through the looking glass and beyond and go places, talk shows, other talk shows, any talk show, all of them, man. I don't care who. They all listen to us, and they all wish they could do what we do. Well, I shouldn't say all of them, but most. National Opt-Out Day was a big, fat bust. National Opt-Out Day, where people were going to say, I'm not going to get a scan, I'm going to be frisked. Guess what? No one cares, man. People just want to get to where they're going. Storms are giving Thanksgiving travelers a headache. Students in the Flint area are suspended for having hunting firearms. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. And philhendryshow.com on the web. We have podcasts, our video feed right now, our blog, our archives on Saturday nights. We have a local show for Los Angeles on KFI Radio. And, of course, our affiliates all over the country. We have an affiliate list of all of the great stations that get it and that air our show. And we're grateful. 877-876-PHIL is the number. This is our news hour. We have Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman with us. Guys, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Now, let's see if we want to start. You know, the one that I wanted to start with, and I think I want to get into it. There's a whole bunch of stuff we got to talk about because it's Thanksgiving, and you got to go through this one again. Oh, wow. Celebrating the murder of Indians. And we're going to try again to clear that up. And that will be further on in the hour, not right now. We should tell you, it's going to be a travel day tomorrow, if it hasn't already become a travel day. As a matter of fact, there's probably people listening to us right now who are on the road. Sometimes we do this. I don't know if you guys want to do this or not, but a lot of times we will take calls from people who are out traveling right now. Now, I know it's very late. I know it's very late. So I don't know how many people are still on the road. It's very late back east. Here on the West Coast, it's just after midnight. But we may want to hear from people checking in from wherever you are and wherever you're going. It might be interesting to know what the road conditions are like where you are. What's the weather like? Now, we have a list here of America's top 10 most congested roads. Maybe you're on one of those. Our number here is 877-876-PHIL. Thanksgiving's all about turkey, cranberries, football, and unfortunately, you got it, traffic jams. As Americans hit the road this holiday weekend, they're likely to encounter thousands of other cars.
What are people going to call up about?
Just wherever they are.
Yeah, wherever they're at, man.
You're just going to say, hi, I'm in a car?
No, they're not going to say, hi, I'm in a car. They call up and say, hey, Phil, you know, I'm out here on the I-95 corridor. I'm out here in San Francisco on Interstate 80, you know.
Oh.
Anyway, here are the top 10 most jammed up, messed up, jacked up roads out there in America tonight. If your trip is taking you through one of the worst 10 out there, I'm not saying, you know, change your plans, but just be forewarned. The number one, well, you know, we'll start it with 10.
Yeah, you get a lot of people complaining every time you do that.
I know, and that's why we're changing it. You know, I don't really give a crap, but I guess it's more exciting if you start with number 10. And we had people complaining like, well, how come he starts with 10? How come he starts with number 1? Why does he start with number 10?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's more fun to do that.
Why do you want to start with number 1 and then you give away what number 1 is?
I understand that. Okay, so here it is. Number 10, most jammed up, jacked up road out there this holiday weekend. The Palmetto Expressway near Miami International Airport. The Palmetto Expressway is one of the most heavily traveled roads in the Miami area, which gets particularly backed up from Okeechobee Road to south of the Dolphin Expressway. Adding travelers flying into and driving from Miami can create a travel nightmare. Luckily, they will enjoy warm spring-like temperatures along the drive. I don't even remember, and I lived in Miami for 3 years. I don't remember where that is. But I wanted to say it's somewhere around the airport. So there's people coming in from the airport, and there are people leaving Miami going north because you can't...
Why don't they go south?
Because there ain't nothing south, man.
Yeah, all there is Key West, and not everybody's going on the Key West. They're going north. Number 9, Detroit's northbound U.S. 23 and northbound I-75 at the merger point. This stretch of road near Flint, Michigan, attracts people fleeing to the beautiful northern Michigan forest for turkey and fun. Cabin owners, resort seekers, and deer hunters flock north from Detroit, Indiana, Ohio, and even Chicago, and they get to the U.S. 23 and northbound I-75 merger, and baby, it's a mess. Number 8, Interstate 35, Dallas. More than 3.5 million people make this particular stretch of road a travel headache. According to officials at the Texas Department of Transportation, half of Dallas Metro residents live along a 50-mile stretch of I-35 and they hit the road en masse during the holidays. Dig that.
I don't know about that one.
I don't either. This is a I-35 would make it a north-south route. Did they say that? Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, at least it used to be when the interstates were created. If it had a odd number, it was a north-south route. If it had an even number, it was east-west route. But I don't know if they even do that anymore. Dallas, so that's the Interstate 35, but that's not, that's just like in the city or something, I guess. All right, in number 7, Interstate 495 from Merrifield, Virginia to Landover, Maryland. That is Washington, D.C., and guess what that is?
That the Beltway?
The Beltway. You got it. The Beltway, as I-495 is called, encircles the nation's capital city, and locals joke that it's rush hour 24 hours a day. Only spanning 30 miles, this stretch can easily take hours to traverse and is at its worst, Thanksgiving. Now, who do we got here on a phone? We're going to talk to a guy in Boston. This is Kevin. How are you doing, man? Welcome to the show. Where are you at right now?
Hey, I'm just west Boston, Mass, out on the turnpike right now.
And where are you heading for, Kevin?
I'm going to Columbus, Ohio. I live up in Wisconsin, but I just traveling.
So, brother, you know what? The good news is none of this, you're not on any stretch of road that is, oh, wait a second, westbound Massachusetts Turnpike from Boston Interstate 84. You're not anywhere around that, are you?
No.
Okay, so you're good. You're good. Are you traveling, man, to Wisconsin just to go home? You're not going there for Thanksgiving? I mean, you're going to go there for Thanksgiving, but is that home?
Yeah, yep. I live actually western Wisconsin. My brother used to listen to you when you're on Minneapolis, I guess.
Okay, yeah, cool. So, and I know where you live, man. Do you live around Stillwater or Hudson,
yep.
Wisconsin?
Okay. 16 miles east of Hudson, right on 94.
I know it, man. I know it. Yeah, I used to go over there all the time, you know. Used to go over there all the time to go cheese tasting or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Listen, Kevin, thank you. Thank you for your call, and drive careful, man. And and Kevin says everything's good, man. Light traffic, clear skies. It's all beautiful. Here's George. He's in Pensacola. George, how you doing, man?
All right, Chief. How's it going, man?
I'm good. Yeah, now, where are you at? Where are you at?
Right. I passed over the Georgia-Florida line about maybe 10 minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
and I'm headed down 75, headed back to Tampa. I was listening to your show from my BlackBerry
on
iHeartRadio.
Awesome, dude. Well, now, you know, so you're streaming the show live off of iHeart, is that it?
Yep.
All right, dude. Who's putting it up on iHeart, man? Is TRN putting it on iHeart? Anyway, I'm glad you're listening to us. And you so in other words, you're there streaming the show on your BlackBerry, not really having to go from affiliate to affiliate. And what's the traffic like, George?
Oh, man, it's sweet. I was just telling the person that checked the call that it's been kind of light. It's just a lot of state troopers out here. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet, man. Yeah, they're going to be out. They're going to be out and about. And you're in Florida now, so it's really going to get heavy. All right, George, thank you for the call. Drive careful. Thank you.
Right.
See you later, brother. All right, man. That's George. So, look, check it out. They're streaming. Hey, it ain't me, man. They're streaming the show live on iHeartRadio. Oh, Clear Channel streams their stations on that application. I can dig it. Okay, that's cool. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. You know, when I hear about that, I want to make sure that the proper.
Yeah, well, you don't get your underwear in a bunch about it, okay, man?
Yeah. What do you mean, get my underwear in a bunch?
You don't have to worry about that.
I ain't gonna worry about it. I'm not gonna worry about it.
Yeah, man. Don't you think people are taking care of business on that?
You know that I've had an issue with people lifting copyrighted material. Now this is our show here, so everything's good. I'm not making an issue. I'm glad that cat was listening. And Clear Channel is using it, and there may be other companies, and that's good. And, you know, our company that we partner with, TRN, so long as they're, you know, they're all right with it, I guess.
Yeah, TRN is going to be all right with Clear Channel, all right with it. If Clear Channel all right with it, TRN going to be good.
I get it. Boy, speak English much?
No kidding, man.
All right. Let's see. So where was I? Oh, yeah, Washington, D.C., Interstate 495 is number 7. Number 6... Atlanta, Interstate 285 in both directions between I-75 and I-85. That also is what they call the perimeter, man. It's the same thing as the Beltway in Washington.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, the Beltway's in Washington.
Shut up, man, and quit trying to be funny.
I didn't know.
The Beltway is Washington. The perimeter in Atlanta, they got a loop. It's the same thing, man. It's a circular ding-dang interstate. Anyway... It is home to 6 major interstates. Atlanta is a major checkpoint for driving destinations across the southeast. Interstate 285 is the busiest of Atlanta's interstates with an astounding 2 million daily drivers. Add extra holiday travelers and shoppers to the mix, and frustration will be cooking in Hotlanta. Now, number 5, Number five on our list, San Francisco's eastbound Interstate 80 to Sacramento and Tahoe. Oh, yeah. In San Francisco, thousands use Thanksgiving as an excuse to screw up everybody's day. No, I'm kidding. That's what it started out. No, thousands use Thanksgiving as an excuse to flee the city and get their first taste of the winter wonderland, baby. The downside is that many take I-80 to get to the ski resorts around Lake Tahoe. This trek only worsens with a dash of winter weather, such as the major windy storm that hit its peak this past weekend. There's more news on that, which we will lay on you. So number five is San Francisco. Number four, most busiest of all of the streetists, New York City, Throgs Neck Bridge and Whitestone Bridge.
What?
Yeah, these are like city. This is city streets, dude. Now, think about this. These two bridges are key choke points. What are you laughing at?
Key choke points.
Shut up.
Man, what are you having a laugh? Why'd you grow up, man?
Key choke point.
The two bridges are key choke points when traveling from the New York City area to Connecticut or Long Island. The Throgs Neck Bridge.
That's the funniest name of a bridge I ever heard.
The Throgs Neck Bridge, the newest bridge, was built back in 1961 to help relieve traffic on the adjacent Whitestone Bridge.
Yeah, I'll bet it was.
All right, enough, bud, okay?
Shut up, man.
Such is the major winter storm that hit, I'm reading the San Francisco, and it has long been overrun with traffic jams. All right, so what we're talking about there, these are city streets, basically, the Throgs Neck Bridge. So that's number four, man, and we have to take a break. We're going to get to the top three when we come back, and we're also got another call from we have a friend of ours in Los Angeles now. We're taking calls from you guys. If you're out on the road tonight, wherever you are in the country, give us a call, man. And just heard from our friend George, who is streaming a show on iHeartRadio. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The opt-out, by the way, was a big, fat, freaking failure. Plus, was Glee or NCIS able to compete with Dancing with the Stars last night? We'll find out on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and we'll get to the other three most congested roads in America, then the airport protest that never took off, the so-called opt-out day, which we predicted it wouldn't take off because it was an asinine idea from beginning to end. Here is Derek in Los Angeles listening on KTLK out on the roads tonight, man. I know it gets crazy out there in L.A. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing all right. Doing pretty good. Happy Thanksgiving to you, man.
Yeah, you too, man. Where are you at now?
I'm on the 101 North. I'm leaving the San Fernando Valley right now, and I'm heading up to Monterey, California. This is the parent.
There you go, man. Now, that's usually, that and 5 usually be pretty jammed up. What's it looking like?
Well, I'm not on the 5. Well, I'm on the 101, but earlier today, you couldn't get out of L.A. even if you wanted to. It was a zoo. It was really, really bad today, yeah.
Yeah. And so did you wait until later to take the trek up north?
I sure did. I said, I'm going to wait till the traffic dies down, and I'm going to hop on the road. And right now, it's pretty steady, but there's no backups or anything, and I'm enjoying it.
Awesome. You're leaving the valley, so you're okay. So cool. And you take 101 all the way up, then just take a left turn into Monterey. That's really cool, because I know that things get nuts at earlier in the evening. And I remember one Thanksgiving where it was like 8 hours to get, 50 miles. So drive carefully, man. Thanks for calling us tonight, huh?
I sure will. Take care. Thanks.
All right, Derek. See you later, man. Here's Jay in Flagstaff. Jay, how are you? And welcome to the show, listening on, you're on KBTK. Yes, sir.
How's it going?
How you doing, Jay? Where you at, man?
Oh, right now about 60 miles from Holbrook, Arizona. And I'm out of snow now, but I was definitely in pretty bad snow going through Flagstaff.
Are you a truck driver? Are you a truck driver?
No, I'm a delivery driver. I haul puppies all over the country to pet stores.
You're hauling pumpkins? You're hauling pumpkins?
No, puppies.
Oh, puppies.
Yeah, puppies. High-end puppies.
You have a load of puppies tonight?
I'm headed back home now, so I don't have any puppies on me now.
You ain't got no puppies. But, all right, good.
No, I heard him talking about L.A. The last stop I had was in Sherman Oaks. Yeah. So we were done about 1 o'clock. We went to leave L.A. We didn't get past Barstow till 6:30.
One o'clock in the afternoon, 6:30. So we're 5.5 hours, man.
I'm talking bumper to bumper traffic, moving at 5 miles an hour all the way to L.A., all the way to Barstow. It was just absolutely insane. And then Barstow, where it split off at 15 and 40, seemed like everybody was going to Vegas because 40
sounds
was
right.
Nice and empty.
Yeah. Now everything's good, huh? Everything looking good now?
Everything's good now. Now I'm nice
all right.
And smooth, able to run 80 miles an hour, but, man, leaving L.A., probably would have been better off to wait like the other guy.
Hey, no kidding, man. In the middle of the day on Thanksgiving, bad move. Thanks for calling us, though. Glad things are smoothing out for you, Jay. There's Jay in Flagstaff, Arizona, man.
How far is Barstow away from L.A.?
I don't know. How far is Barstow from L.A.? But 5.5 hours is too long, man, for any kind of a trip. I mean, from Barstow to L.A. All right.
Yeah, if you were going on New York from L.A., that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, bad comparison. All right, number three on the list, Chicago, Borman Expressway, I-80, I-94, the Tri-State Tollway. This is the trifecta of traffic tie-ups because it is the intersection of three heavily traveled roads. What makes it even... Oh, I know where this is. I went right through this, coming down from Minneapolis one year. What makes it even worse for holiday travelers are the big rigs that travel through these tollways. In September of 2008, all of the lane tollways were closed when the Little Calumet River flooded. Torrential rains from Hurricane Ike reportedly caused a level breach and left parts of the roadway under 5 feet of water. It's nuts, man, and it's a multi-lane thing. It's like 5-6 lanes. There's trucks, there's toll roads, there's all kinds of stuff funneling into this area, which I think is... south of Chicago. Number two, Boston, westbound Massachusetts Turnpike from downtown Boston to Interstate 84 in Starbridge. This stretch of road is only 56 miles long and should theoretically be driven in an hour. However, because this is the main route connecting Boston to the rest of the eastern seaboard, it has been known to come to a virtual standstill, Jack. That is the westbound Massachusetts Turnpike from downtown Boston to Interstate 84 in Starbridge. And finally, the number one most congested thing in the whole thing. Number one?
Number one.
Thank you. You wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Interstate 95 from New York City to Washington, D.C. Interstate 95 from New York City to Washington, D.C. Ain't that... There's a lot of commuter flights there.
A lot of people are going to fly down, yeah.
Bad weather is not uncommon along this corridor during Thanksgiving week. In 2006, a strong nor'easter moved through 2 days before Thanksgiving, bringing damaging winds and coastal flooding and snarling holiday traffic from the Carolinas to southern New England. Some experts estimated that this 225-mile trek is the slowest stretch of highway nationwide during the holiday season. How about that, man? I-95 corridor from New York to Washington, D.C.
There's nothing in there about L.A. or anywhere near there.
Now, I thought you're right. There was L.A. wasn't on the list at all, and I believe the reason for that is that our roads are relatively newer, and also there's not the congestion, there's a separation between cities where traffic has a chance to thin out a little bit.
What?
Never mind, man. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, Thanksgiving travel.
Phil Hendry.
By a snowstorm.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world famous, groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. If you want to watch a live streaming video of the show as you listen to it, you can do that at our website, philhenryshow.com. You can also hear the audio of the show off of our live streaming video cast, and you can get a backstage pass and get a lot more. You can hear thousands of hours of archived material every day. We are making it all that archived material into downloads, so those go directly to your iPod or wherever you want it to go. We have a news feed, which we call the Phil feed, and if you're a subscriber, you can comment on all of the items that we have there. You have guaranteed email response from me, Phil Hendry, and you also have the opportunity to go into a multitude of other archives, such as video, et cetera, episodes, webisodes, animated features. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. All right. Airport protest never takes off. Few delays seen. The big opt-out looked like a big bust on Wednesday as Thanksgiving travelers around the country patiently submitted to full-body scans and pat-down searches rather than create havoc on one of the busiest days of the year. In fact, in some parts of the country, bad weather was shaping up as a bigger threat to travelers' hopes of getting to their destinations. And this is a story of, I think, some significance because people decided it was a bad idea not only to hold themselves up, to hold their fellow travelers up. They would be subjected, I think, to probably more rancor than the TSA agents. I think it's significant also because I will agree, and I have no idea in these clips what Ed Schultz is going to say. Ed Schultz apparently important enough to actually be on our show as an audio clip. I've never heard Ed Schultz say anything that is even remotely illustrative, informative. I've never heard Ed Schultz say anything that is even close to being revealing, profound, nothing. Nothing. And you know that, MSNBC. You know that. You know he's. You know that this guy is, he's 5 cents away from a functional moron. But let's listen to what Ed has to say. He's a nice guy. I've met him at functions, radio and TV. This guy hit the lottery is what happened. Ed Schultz was the first prominent, nationally supported liberal host. Is he really a liberal? Who knows? And that was smart of him. And so MSNBC, because they're not very bright over there, if they were, they would have by now figured out how to pull more than a 0.00 rating, which they can't seem to do. So you put together the idiots at MSNBC and a highly, highly achieving moron like Ed Schultz, and this cat hit the lottery. He's got a TV show. And if I sound angry and bitter, I am, because I want that money.
I knew it, man. You're crying for you.
I'm kidding.
I don't think so, ma'am.
What do you mean you don't think so? You think I'm jealous?
Yeah, I do.
All right, maybe I am.
Yeah, you're jealous. You gonna cry about it and everything?
What's wrong with me saying I'm jealous? What's wrong with me saying I wish I had that gig? Something wrong with that?
Yeah, man, you gotta be more of a man than that.
Look at you guys. Like, come on. You guys know. Wouldn't you rather be Stuttering John or whatever the hell I got? What was that guy?
The guy that goes Baba Booey.
Yeah, Gary?
I don't know.
Anyway, so let's listen to Ed and we'll have some more comments. Here on MSNBC's The Ed Show, host Ed Schultz claimed the controversy over pat-downs and body scans are ginned up by the right to promote racial profiling. What the hell are you talking about, man? Schultz makes reference to the drugster, which is his nickname for Rush Limbaugh. Okay, here it is.
Fox News and the drugster are cooking this story up with fear and using it to push their racial profiling. I can't believe that the American people are buying this garbage. Why do all of us have such a problem with skin color? Why is it that we
are
so afraid?
You are.
The responsibility of all the cables out there. Is it our responsibility to make sure everybody gets all feared up? Or is it our responsibility to tell the truth and paint an accurate picture of what's going on in this country?
Well, I don't know what it is, but you ain't it, Ed. How about that? But here's the thing. What are you talking about racial profiling, you jackass? What basically what they're ginning up over there on right-wing radio, if that's what you want to call it, is this. They want to say that Obama's TSA, it all goes back to Obama. In order to understand, it all goes back to Obama. It has nothing to do with racial profiling. It has to do with having their, you know, genitals touched and they're being insulted and they're being this and they're that. And this is a cluster, you know what, and Obama has promoted this and his TSA's promoted this. And oh, my God, it's another disaster. That's what that is. OK, Ed, so cut through your horse dung. Now here is Ed on The Ed Show with former CIA agent Jack Rice. Oh, yeah, I bet you, Jack, You really got it going on, huh?
But you know, there's one other interesting aspect about this. I can look back to the Bush years where members of the GOP and some of these old white talk show hosts who are conservatives, they literally would do anything that the Bush administration said. We would talk about warrantless wiretaps. We would talk about searches. We would talk about torture. And that was all fine. And now all of a sudden, because we have a liberal black president, all of a sudden it's completely different. And this is outrageous. I find it ironic that now all of a sudden we magically care about this when we never did for a good 6 years.
That cat was in the CIA, man.
Lord.
That blithering idiot was a part of our intelligence gathering community. What part of the CIA were you working in, Mr. Rice, when the attacks took place on 9/11? Were you sitting there with your thumb up your ass or something? Were you reading Mad Magazine? That guy? Are you out of your mind? And there's not even anything that guy said even remotely resembles the world that I live in. Wait, first of all, if they're torturing anybody, if they're waterboarding anybody under Obama right now, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it, man. Are they doing that? Secondly, Obama extended the Patriot Act. I love it. What are you talking about? And here's a guy that was in the CIA, and he's talking about what he heard on talk shows. Was that your job at the CIA? Are you people kidding? I can't. If I listen to this stuff long enough, I may just commit. I may just go out and burglarize homes. You know what I'm saying?
Well, man, you can't go over to, you know.
No, I may just throw it in and go out and rob banks. I'm seriously, if I have to listen to this stupidity much longer, I think I'm going to cry. It the dumb just never ends, man. But here's the good news. What we're listening to is the hysterical bleedings of a media that's looking to get audience members. They're looking to get supporters. They're looking to get listeners. They're looking to get viewers. And they're looking to make advertising dollars. So what do they put out there in order for us to, you know, for our perusal? They put out...
But, you know, there's one other interesting aspect about this. I can look back to the Bush years where members of the GOP and some of these old white talk show hosts...
Oh, the old white talk show hosts. What are you, man? MSNBC. Talk about old and... Crank off a hunting knife, off of a mule skinning knife. All right, so anyway, all of that, you realize that, so there we had two clips that were a complete waste of your time and my time, had nothing to say about anything that you and I deal with in the real world. Now, here's the real world that you and I are dealing with. The real world you and I are dealing with is that somebody tried to blow an airplane up last Christmas, and I would have been more conscious of that, but I was coming down with swine flu and pneumonia, thank you very deeply. Someone tried to blow up an airplane, and so the TSA, in conjunction with our intelligence community, has decided that we need to frisk everybody and frisk them good, man. These are new pat-down procedures. Okay. Now... someone had his, quote, junk touched, and that touched off a fury of, oh, isn't that a cute word? And so everyone thought that was cool, that word, even though we've been using it for 12, 15 years. But I guess we're just cool.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that guy who looks like, I saw a picture of that cat, that guy who didn't want his junk touched. He looks like he probably, other than the TSA, wants everybody to touch it.
You're going to get sued for that, too.
Thank you, bud. Why don't you just keep a running tab? Came a spate, and we find out now much less than we were told of incidences involving travelers who didn't like being touched, and in the process were rude, combative, assaulted TSA employees. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what happened. I don't give a damn if it's Obama's the president. I could care less. I'm talking about getting from one place to the next. The guy says, I have to pat you down. We got a very serious security situation in this country. I don't know whether you heard about it or not. Now, do I wish that we would just go ahead and use some kind of a suspect information sheet? If you wish, it's not racial profiling, but it is looking at suspect types. Do I wish we could do that? Yes, I do. Do I wish that we would grow up and do that? Yes, I do. We can't do that, though, because Ed Schultz doesn't want us to do it. So we got to pat down everybody. All right, we'll pat down everybody. And everybody gets patted down. And no exceptions. And if you're bitching about it, then go take a walk. Now, one guy yesterday, I heard the guy say he was a TSA worker. He said the guy said to him, I may assault you if you touch me any place I don't like. And the guy said, you do that, sir, fine, and I'll go get a police officer, and you'll be in handcuffs. And guess what? The guy was as docile as a lamb. Some people, and I don't know where they're getting the idea that they're allowed to just act like pigs because they got a part of their body touched during a pat-down or a search, and I don't care what it was, and I don't care how it felt. That's the way it's going to be because we've got a serious situation, security situation in the country. So, and some people, and maybe it's right-wing talk show hosts, I don't know. I do know that it's the opt-out thing was talked about, and guess what? It was a stiff, Jack.
I mean, nobody did it, man. Nobody cared about it.
No one cared about it because everybody wants to get where they're going. They're not going to do the national opt-out day. Who's that jive ass that came up with that? Did they give a name? We got to make the guy famous. At Denver International Airport, Chris Mage, a 31-year-old computer programmer, carried a sign that read, "End the TSA, ask me how." He and three others handed pocket-sized copies of the U.S. Constitution. They're touching breasts, they're touching buttocks, all of these places that if you or I were to touch, we'd go to jail. He said, yes, because it wouldn't be part of our job. Are you an idiot? James Babb, co-founder of Opt Out Day. James, why don't you go back to servicing the gumball machines or whatever you do for a living? Many passengers brushed off the concerns. In Atlanta, 22-year-old Ashley Humphreys was given a pat-down search of her chest and crotch by a female screener after the bobby pins in her hair set off the metal detector. She said, I can see how it would make someone uncomfortable, but I'm not easily offended, so it doesn't bother me as much. That's the key. Not easily offended. Some of these people are just big, fat, I don't know, closeted homosexuals, maybe? The TSA has said the need for such measures was demonstrated last Christmas. We get it. Fearing such delays, some passengers decided to go to the airport especially early and were pleasantly surprised. They went through their pat-down, and the guy, one of the gentlemen, said, now I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. Big deal. You got to be some kind, I think you got a mental problem, a serious mental problem, if during the course of a pat-down, someone touches a part of your body. You have to understand, well, that's the necessary kind of search that's being conducted because of the security issues involved. And that's just the way it's going to go. And if you are upset with that, you got a mental problem, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but what if a guy sticks his hand right up into it?
If a guy sticks his hand right up into it, what are you talking about?
Maybe that's when that guy had a bomb, man. He had an underwear bomb on.
Yeah, but I mean,
first of all, but how likely is it with all of this pressure? Some guy's going to, wow, this is my chance, man. I think I'll stick my hand up, bud. You know?
Maybe.
Dude, if he did, if I were you, I just, you know.
What? Just let it go?
Yeah. Let it go. Let it go, man. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, a controversy at the Flint Area High School that we want to tell you about. A Flint Area High School where six students are suspended after they found shotguns, ammunition, a paintball gun, a compound bow, all kind of stuff, man. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Back our final segment here, and just a quick ratings. ABC dethroned CBS from its top spot on the Tuesday night ratings pile with a highly talked about, heavily watched Dancing with the Stars finale. The two-hour dancing average better than 24 million viewers. Monday night they had 22 million viewers, so they just kicked ass throughout. What hour was that, man? Okay. The two-hour dancing average better than 24 million viewers, its biggest audience since the fall 2007 cycle. The network averaged 18.4, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, hour by hour, 8 o'clock hour, CBS wins with NCIS. Our second is Fox with Glee, and third is ABC No Ordinary Family. But it is Glee with 18 to 49-year-olds, the number one winner in that hour. That's a big, big demo. So you can say that, well, of total viewers, CBS wins, Fox wins, the the Money demo. Here is a Glee nickname. What is this from? This is from on Glee last night. Sue Sylvester, played by Jane Lynch, is filling in as a principal, and while dealing with Kurt being bullied for being gay, she uses an offensive nickname.
Lady, this kid lays a finger on you, you come straight to me, and I will expel him faster than a Thai takeout place can read back your delivery order, okay? But until that happens, and I'm genuinely sorry to say this, there's nothing legally I or the school board can do.
You know, when you call me lady, that's bullying. And it's really hurtful.
I'm sorry, I thought that was your name. As an apology, I'll allow you to choose from the following nicknames. Gelfling, Porcelain, and Tickle Me Doughface.
I guess I'll go with Porcelain.
Damn. Totally want to Tickle Me Doughface.
Well, okay. All right, and so 9 o'clock hour, Dancing with the Stars, CBS NCIS Los Angeles, and 10 o'clock, Dancing with the Stars. Now, in Byron, Michigan, six students were suspended from Byron High School after officials found five shotguns, ammunition, a paintball gun, and a compound bow in the cars they drove to school on Tuesday, the second day of firearm deer hunting season. Kathy Domonsky's son, 16-year-old sophomore Kyle, and 17-year-old junior Eric were among the six suspended, and she believes the school specifically targeted students who were hunters and purposely did the search at the start of the deer hunting season. That's right, lady. That's what they want to do. It's deer hunting season. They're going to have guns. Let's go get them. Why? I think he was just targeted because he was one of the kids they know as a hunter, a farm boy. I don't feel they were posing a danger. That's right. They're prejudiced against hunters, prejudiced against farm boys. Cars parked in the student parking lot were... Why are they coming to school with this garbage, you idiot? Some of these people, man, they get kids. I tell you, they have a kid and they think it's a license to just walk the earth and dole out all kinds of advice on how to do everything. Everything. I have a kid, you see.
What do you mean everything? Like fly a plane?
I'll bet you they would, yeah.
Well, that'd be funny, man. Hey, I know how to fly that plane. I got a kid on that plane. Let me fly it.
That's exactly how these people think. Exactly how they think. I have a kid, and so therefore I know, number one, school curriculum, number two, security, number three, health, number four, everything. There isn't a topic known to man on this planet, not a topic known to the wisest sages of the ages that parents aren't automatically expert in because their kid's involved. They're snot-nosed, often rude, punk kid. He said he does not believe any students were in danger. However, school policy forbids weapons on campus. That's the policy. Bingo. Is that zero tolerance? Yeah. Is it bringing a plastic knife? No. Is it bringing a plastic spoon? No. Is it bringing a pop gun? No. It's bringing shotguns. That's against school rules. Well, maybe they're going hunting after the school. If they're going hunting, they can go get it.
Yeah, well, what about that? Maybe they were going hunting.
Then they can go get their stuff at their house. Kyle said he went directly to school after hunting between 6:30 a.m. and 7:45 Tuesday morning. Is that right, Kyle? Even though you know that the school doesn't allow you to bring guns on, is that right? He was at lunch when he was taken by a police officer to his vehicle, asked to unlock the truck. Maybe they did target your kids. Maybe they did, lady, because they said, you know, it's hunting season, and these kids may be violating the prohibition against weapons. I want to check these cars because those, see, that's what you call an absolutely legitimate use of profiling. They didn't profile every white kid on the school school grounds. The kids that were the hunters, they said, I wonder if they got guns. They're not supposed to have guns. Open up the trunk. Let's see. They got guns. A soft black case containing a 12-gauge shotgun and a hard brown case holding a compound bow were confiscated by police from the truck parked in the student parking lot. The equipment was on the floor in front of the back seat of the... I don't give a damn what they were doing with it, why they had it. I don't give a crap if they're the sweetest kids on earth and the sun rises and sets on their asses because their mama just loves them. I don't care. If the rule says don't bring it, don't bring it. And half of these parents, we would have a far easier time of life, man. You know?
Man, you don't even have no kids and you care.
That's why I care. I don't have any kids. We'd have had a lot easier time in this world of ours if... these parents who screw everybody's day up with their stupid opinions would just shut up. Like that dumbass, who was the guy we were talking about last week? That father, oh God, we're going to have to keep a list. But in the meantime, let's enjoy our Thanksgiving, huh? Charles Wygan is our technical director, Dan Northcraft, our associate producer, and our producer is Jason Rantz. PhilHenrySHow.com. Check it out. Check out our live streaming video. Check it out on demand in our archives. And have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you very much.
Phil Hendry.